कतिदेवे गौरवाणुचारण निर्विशेष श्रीनिवास पश्चात जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 10, texts 63 through 65. So the word meanings for 63, Prabhu Kahe, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhattacharya, My dear Bhattacharya, Sunaha, just hear in Hara Charita his character, Dakshina Yachila, went to South India. Inha, this man, Amara Sahita, with me. Prabhu Kahe. Bhattacharya Sunaha Ihara Charita Dakshina Gaichila Inha Amara Sahita Prabhu Kahe Bhattacharya Sunaha Inhara Charita Dakshina Giya Chila Inha Amara Sahita
Dakshina Giya Chila Inha Amara Sahita
Prabhu Kahe Bhattacharya Sunaha Ihara Charita
Prabhu Kahe Bhattacharya Sunaha Ihara Charita
Dakshina Giya Chila Inha Amara Sahita
Prabhu Kahe Bhattacharya Sunaha Ihara Charita.
Translation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Bhattacharya, just consider this man's character. He went with me to South India." Text 64. Patadhari kache kaila amara chadiya patadhari haite inhare nanuva ubira. He left my company to associate with the Bhattadharis, but I rescued him from their company and brought him here. Aviyami inha aniya kalirana ubaya. Yaha nicha yaha ama sani ahira. Now that I have brought him here, I am asking him to leave. Now he can go wherever he likes, for I am no longer responsible for him. Report. Kalakrishna Das was influenced and allured by nomads or gypsies who enticed him with women. Maya is so strong that Kalakrishna Das left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can be allured by Maya and leave the Lord's company due to his slight independence. Only one who is overwhelmed by Maya can be so unfortunate as to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Yet, unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though he be the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to speak of others, the Bhattadharis used to increase their numbers by using women to allure outsiders. This is factual evidence showing that it is possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association. One need only misuse his little independence. Once fallen and separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead's association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. Although rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kalakrishna Das was given another chance, as the following verses relate. Om Gyana Timranandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshanamunitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here's some gasping as we read the verse. I don't know exactly why people were gasping. But I guess there's some serious lessons to be learned here. And if we don't learn them, I guess then we would be gasping for help, because we would be, as is related in the last sentence of the purport here, we become a candidate for suffering in the material world. Actually, this verse has some very essential teachings of Krishna consciousness, and they're shown in a lila form here, but there's also tattva, an explanation of the existential reality of the relationship between the Supreme Lord Bhagavan and the individual jiva, soul. So two ways we can understand this: the existential reality, the tattva, and through the conscious and personal choice of the jiva. So let's look at the tattva, the siddhanta, or the absolute truth, or the existential reality first. We find in the Vedic literature three main subject matters: sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So this is a discussion of sambandha, which means a relationship, understanding that there is a relationship between the Lord and the living entity, and what the nature of that relationship is. That's shown both in tattva and in the Lord's lila or pastimes. So Vedic literatures are divided primarily two broad categories, Shruti and Smriti. Shruti, we could say more formal Vedic mantras, characterized by the philosophical sections of the Vedas and the Upanishads. There we find information or instruction about the nature of reality. And as Srila Prabhupada gave it to us, particularly or specifically in the Isha Upanishad, the Sri Isha Upanishad, generally Upanishads have sort of an impersonal slant to them. But Isha Upanishad that Prabhupada gave us is particularly important because it points out the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth very clearly. And so, in the Isha Upanishad, Sri Isha Upanishad, we all know the invocation that's there. We can recite it together. Om Purnam Adat Purnam Udam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Evavasishyate. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced from the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So this is a description of the Absolute Truth, and the jiva souls are also emanations from him. Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. And so we can understand that Krishna, as described in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, is Swarat, completely independent. And we as Mabhaivamsa Jivaloke, small sparks from that fire, are, just as described in the invocation to Isha Upanishad, complete in ourselves. So we also have some minute degree of independence. Prabhupada refers to that twice in the short purport we read today. The little independence, the slight independence. First he calls it slight independence, and then he calls it little independence. We have this independence because we're part and parcel, a complete unit that's emanated from the complete whole, the personality of Godhead. He's independent, and therefore we are independent. But we have a little Anu, and he has a lot Vibhu. So this is our relationship to him. Now, as illustrated in this Leela, that spark is supposed to use his independence to choose Krishna, not to reject Krishna. That's called the influence of Maya. The Lord has various energies, and one of them that we are all too familiar with is the illusory energy of Maya, which confuses us and makes us do things like leaving the personal association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the power of Maya or illusion. And so we have this choice. We have this little independence. So how are we going to use it? All the Vedic literatures, Shruti and Smriti. I was giving a class in Houston a few weeks ago, and I talked about the difference between Shruti and Smriti. And I said that Bhagavad Gita was Smriti. There was some objection to that. That they said, no, Bhagavad Gita is the directly spoken by Bhagavan Sri Krishna. How can you say it's Smriti? Smriti means that literature which great sages compose, as opposed to the Shruti, which is eternally unchanging truth. And so how can you say that the Supreme Lord's direct words are not Shruti, that they're Smriti? So I didn't argue the point. Then I went and I looked it up. And actually, it's because Bhagavad Gita comes in Mahabharata, which was written by Śrīla Vyāsadeva, it's also Shruti, it's both Shruti and Smriti. It can be considered either one. But Shruti or Smriti doesn't matter. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatana, Vidhimana. Any so-called devotional service that's not according to both Shruti and Smriti is going to cause a disturbance in society. So, the living entity has some minute independence, and it's best utilized, not best, it's meant to be utilized in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that's forgotten. And as illustrated here in this pastime with Kala Krishnadas and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's nature, his part of the bargain is also shown. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Yayatam mam papajante tam sitaiva vajami aham. Mamavart manavart tante manushipartha sagata. That all living beings follow my path, and as they surrender, I reciprocate with them. That's Krishna's nature. He's a reciprocal. So if we utilize our independence to serve him, to glorify him, to reestablish our loving relationship with him, then he reciprocates accordingly. But if we choose otherwise, then we find things like happening with Kala Krishnadas, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that now he can go wherever he likes, for I am no longer responsible for him. If we surrender to Krishna, he'll reciprocate accordingly, and he'll be responsible for us. How is Krishna responsible for us? How does he show us that? Can anybody say different ways in which Krishna shows that he'll take responsibility for us? Janmasthami? Yeah, he tells us in 1866 that if we surrender to him, then we don't have to have any fear about any kind of karmic reactions. So he protects us. Yes, to be honest. Yes, he provides what we lack and whatever we need, and he's there to provide it for us. When I was driving to the temple this morning, the sun, I don't know, maybe it was the angle that it was at the sun, but it was really bright, you know, it was like almost blindingly bright. So my mind started going on, I said, maybe the sun's burning out. What if the sun didn't come up tomorrow? What will we do? You know, we would just wait until we died, basically, and froze to death if the sun wasn't there. So the sun is Krishna's mercy on us. I was listening to an explanation also this morning when a devotee was explaining about prasadam. Very interesting analysis of the Sarirata Vijayajal prayer. How it's different than just, God, please give us our day, our daily bread. How it recognizes that Krishna's giving us prasad as mercy to help us conquer over worldly illusion. We have a need, we have an urge of the belly and the tongue to eat. We can't deny that. And it's reality. But Krishna reciprocates. He protects us by giving us prasadam to eat. Not only does it satisfy our belly and our tongue, but it frees us from worldly illusion. It helps us prevent us from making the mistake that Kala Krishna does make. Any other way in which Krishna protects us?
In this case,
they might have shelter of one who has complete shelter of me.
It's more safer. Because I may do mistake, honestly, I feel that. But if I follow Prabhupada or great personality like him, and I hold on to whatever way he wants me to engage, I'll be more safer than going directly serving to the Lord.
Yes, now this is very interesting that you point out that, Prangavinda Prabhu, because that is the answer to the gas we heard earlier when we read this. I mean, what could be worse than the complete shelter basically saying, well, I'm not going to protect you anymore. How is that even possible? I mean, let's think about it. We talked about the complete whole, how we're dependent on, we're parts of the complete whole, we're dependent on him, and he's the totality of everything. How is it possible he could say to us that, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore? Does he really say that? Does he really say that? Well, I think Prabhupada would point us to the last sentence in his purport here. He says, although rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kala Krishnadas was given another chance, as the following verses relate. So, we can't ever be without the shelter of the Supreme Lord's mercy and energy. And so, if Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is saying that, I don't want to have anything to do with you, you get out of my association, he's putting us under another one of his energies, and Prangavinda Prabhu pointed out who that energy is. Who is it? The devotees. The devotees. Even though we may so foolishly use our minor independence to reject the association of the Supreme Lord, he's so complete in his reciprocal, conscious, personal relationship with each one of us that he puts us under another one of his energies so that we can come back to him. We read in Bhagavad Gita, that verse I quoted a little earlier, Mavaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. What's the rest of that? Yeah, so when we reject the Lord, even though we're part and parcel of him, then we get put in this material world where we're struggling with the six senses that include the mind. And so sometimes we take that struggle as something negative or the punishment of the Lord. But is it really? Is rectification really punishment? It may be painful, it may be difficult to go through, it may be suffering, no doubt. But it's not without a purpose. The purpose is reformatory, to give us the opportunity to regain the association of the Lord. And so we'll read in next Saturday and on how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his rejection of Kala Krishnadas was actually pushing him to his devotees, and the devotees accepted him and engaged him. Now that's an important lesson that probably I won't get a chance to speak on because I won't get given the class on those verses, but I'd like to take the opportunity to talk about because it's an opportunity for all of us and it should dictate how we engage in so much of our service. So much of our service is based on gathering those who have made the choice to go against Krishna, to leave Krishna. So much of our service is based on gathering them back and giving them an opportunity to once again take up the service of the Supreme Lord. We distribute books in that way. We chant Hare Krishna in that way. We distribute prasadam in that way. We have our temples for that purpose. This is the purpose of everything we do in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to serve Srila Prabhupada, giving shelter to the fallen conditioned souls so that they may again take up their blissful life in association with Sri Krishna. But we need to understand how best to do that. Now, that can be very subjective, how best to do it, but I myself, just for myself, have found certain guidelines that help in this regard. And they revolve around recognizing that whoever we interact with has a choice. They can either choose Krishna or not choose Krishna, just like Kala Krishnadas did. So understanding that, I think it's important that we connect what choice means in terms of love. If we take away choice, even in the newest person coming to Krishna consciousness, we don't recognize that they have a choice, then how will we ever bring them to the platform of loving Krishna? Because love is a choice. It's not something that can be forced on anyone. We have to make the choice to love Krishna. So that makes us have to be as welcoming and inviting and as open representatives of Krishna as we can be, so that people will recognize and be encouraged to make the individual choice to choose Krishna. I was reading in Radhanath Swami's book, The Journey Within, his encounter with a Christian preacher on a campus, I think probably in some place in West Virginia, and how that person gradually became a devotee from the position of, you're going to hell because a number of reasons. How he got off that dogmatic platform when encountering a more open, sharing version of God consciousness that Radhanath Swami was preaching. Giving people the opportunity to choose Krishna. That's an individual choice, and that should be encouraged. How we can serve Krishna, there's so many varieties of ways to do that are based upon our individuality. And we should try to encourage people to use their individuality, their particular services, to please Krishna, because that's what they're there for anyway. All of our individuality, the special talents that we all have in different ways, they're all meant to be used in glorifying Krishna. And if people can understand that, then they may be more encouraged to use their individuality in the service of Krishna. And that way, we really become what Prabhupada said, ISKCON being a house that the whole world can live in. Not that anyone's individuality is denied. Indeed, there's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to one of his managers in the early 70s, where he says that management should be careful not to destroy, I think, or eliminate the service, the spirit of individual, spontaneous, and devotional, or something like that. He described devotional service like that as individual, spontaneous, and something else. Yes, voluntary. Yes, voluntary, individual, voluntary, and spontaneous. If people can get that when they interact with us, wow, I can individually, voluntarily, and spontaneously, lovingly serve God for the rest of eternity, they're more likely to make that choice than the the feelings that Kala Krishnadas is going through here. When we read this, the Shastra, especially we're devotees, supposed to taste the loving devotion that's there, the rasa that's there in the scriptures. Try to imagine how Kala Krishnadas was feeling when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this. I mean, he's probably already, you know, pretty bummed out with himself because he had to be pulled back from the Bhattataris and everything. But then he maybe kind of thought, well, I'm traveling. And we're talking months, if not years. This happened in South India. They traveled all the way back to Puri. It wasn't like taking a train overnight or something. It was months of traveling with the Lord. And there's no description in Chaitanya Charitamrita what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him during that time, but obviously the service was going on. But when he gets back, then he calls all the devotees together and he says this. Just consider the character of this man. He was with me. He left my association for the Bhattataris. I had to go and rescue him from them. I kept him in my service till now. Now he can go wherever he likes. Can you imagine how he felt? How Kala Krishnadas felt? We'll also feel like that if we make the choice that he made. So we shouldn't make that choice. We don't want to feel like that. No one wants to feel like that. I mean, we may be fallen. We may not be the best servant of Srila Prabhupada or whatever. But we don't want to feel rejected that, no, you go anywhere and do whatever you want. We don't want to feel that. So there's three types of intelligent people. The first most intelligent is, I'm talking about the one he hears and understands and does. He doesn't have to experience. So we should hear the anguish in Kala Krishnadas's heart at these words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Takes solace that, as we'll read in the next few verses, that it's okay, I have a place for you, the devotees will still have a place for you. But feel that and not go there ourselves. That's probably be the best thing for us. Not probably, will be the best thing for us. So, does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes.
Yeah, you read that unless one is very conscientious, that word, I want it to elaborate, that influence of Maya can drag him away, even though you may be assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very heavy. You elaborated the whole class on Vaishnava. But I wanted to understand that word more. Prabhupada used that. Unless one is very conscientious.
Right. Well, conscientious has levels of meaning that all are surrounding around the overall definition of being completely aware. Completely aware. So completely aware and attentive to what one does. So there's consciousness and there's also activity. Conscientious. It's a full awareness that of the consequences of how Kala Krishnadas was feeling when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inconvenienced by one's actions, philosophically, how this is, one is being influenced by the illusory energy and moving away from the existential reality of one's position. All these things roll together, or conscientious, a full awareness of one's wrongdoing, one's crime, one's predicament, suffering that one will have to undergo. Like that sense. Does anybody else have something they can add to that conscientious definition? Paying attention. Okay, wake up. Pay attention.
You'd mention that. I was thinking like in a stop sign. I did a mistake a couple of times. At least one time I got ticket. Instead of stop, I slow down. Nobody's there around, so I just go. After a little while, I see light. And I got ticket. So I was just analytical, I was thinking, is that breaking law is already was within me, or why didn't I stop? I was just trying to reflect and like...
Well, why didn't we stop? We have, in this material world, because we of our nature as being dependent beings, we become dependent on the workings of material energy rather than the dependence on Krishna. And so we get into habits. Now, just because one has a habit himself, I was listening again the other day about the seventh offense by committing sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. And there's a differentiation between committing sins out of habit. That's not necessarily the seventh offense. But the seventh offense is to purposely think that I can commit sins and I can chant and it won't be I won't be affected, I'll be free from it. So there's these kind of distinctions that are important for us to know, because that's part of being conscientious. So we may get affected by habits in this material world, and we have to be careful not to be ruled by them, but to break. Therefore, we have to be very careful and conscientious in how we follow, because if we don't, then we can veer off the path. I'm sorry, but I have a conference call at 9 o'clock, and I'm the organizer of that call, and I have to go to do that. So I'm sorry. Maybe the discussion can continue, but for me to get there and prepare, I have 20 minutes. It takes me 10 minutes to get home. I really have to go at this point. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna.